Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Telenor. Whether you are watching us on the internet, listening on the phone, or being present here at Fornebu, I'm glad to see that so many of you have been able to come here today, despite the heavy snowfall that we have seen in Oslo tonight. My name is Scott Engebrigtsen, and my pleasure to guide you through the presentation this morning. We hope that everyone has the material that we have made available, that is our press release, the quarterly report, and a copy of the presentation to be given here in a minute. In addition to watching this presentation on the internet, we have two other options available. You may watch this transmission live on your mobile telephone, capable if it's provided it's capable of showing live video. Instructions on how to access this transmission are given on our website. A recorded version of this presentation, it may also be downloaded to your mobile phone a little later today. Secondly, you may send in your written questions during the transmission if you are watching us over the internet. We cannot promise that all questions will be answered live, but unanswered questions will be dealt with individually after the conference. You will find instructions on how to send your questions on our website also. After a brief presentation, there will be a general question and answer session, first here from the audience present, and then from the ones participating on the phone. And finally, of course, the possibility to do individual interviews with key people here. Now, let's get down to business and have a look at our fourth quarter results in more detail. And to present the figures, we have our CEO, Mr. Jon Fredrik Baksaas, and our CFO, Mr. Trond Westby. So, I leave the floor to Mr. Baksaas.
Yeah, also from me, good morning. Despite the snowfall that Scott mentioned, we got here. I'm also proud to do this presentation on our new graphical design, which is a newcomer in this industry, as we've experienced it being presented in Barcelona previously this week. Coming over to the figures, we are very happy to report an underlying growth on group revenues of 13% in Q4 over Q4 last year. Year over year, the growth figure is 10%. Fixed in Nordic, not fairly flat in this, and broadcast is up 7%, and it's mobile that really contributes to the top line growth figure. On a reported basis, the revenue growth is 26%. More importantly, the EBITDA margin before other items increased from 33.1% to 35.1%. The drivers for this are record high subscriber growth. It's DTAC being included for November and December, as our economic exposure in DTAC has increased to 69.3%. And, of course, the strengthened position in broadband in the Nordics. This performance has led the board to propose dividends for the year of 2 kroner per share, which is up 50 euro compared to 2004. On the operational side, I'm happy to note that the adjustment of the management structure that we did in January now is very well tailored to approach the work that has to be done in the group for 2006. We have now established a strong position in Scandinavia. This includes the acquisition of Vodafone, Sweden, plus the operational improvements in Sonofono coming through, with an almost doubling of the operational cash flow for the year, as well as the acquisitions in the broadband of Bredbandsbolaget in Sweden and GlobalNet and CyberCity in Denmark. The acquisitions in the broadband side have given us the number one position with more than 1 million subscribers and solid market share in all markets. This table includes cable-based broadband as well as GlobalNet and shows the market share that we held and the market positions. The broadband markets are growing significantly. In Denmark, we are very satisfied with the CyberCity's performance, whereas the Swedish market is following expectations, but being very competitive. We believe these positions are important for Telenor, both now and in the future. Coming over to Fixed Norway, revenues are down more or less as expected, 3.8% quarter over quarter. But we're not satisfied that we have had operational challenges, in particular in Q4, which has delayed our ability to reduce costs at an acceptable speed. We now do believe that these challenges are reduced and contained, and that we in 2006 will be able to carry out the targeted 1.5 billion cost reductions within the end of 2006 compared to the cost structure of 2004. We therefore target an EBITDA margin of 33% in the first quarter in 2006. At the market side, in Norway, in Q4, the nominal amount of lines connected is still being reduced. At the same time as the growth in the DSL lines is still strong. In this market, there were some periods in Q4 in which we did not take our fair share of the market growth, but this improved towards the end of the year, as it also did for voice over IP connections. Moving then over to the mobile area, it's been a year of impressive growth when it comes to new customers. This is the number one and the highest quarter ever when it comes to number of new subs being connected in Telenor systems. Year over year, it's an impressive growth of as much as 57% on 100% basis. And the main drivers for this are Bangladesh, Kyivstar, and VimpelCom. The 30 million new subscribers on 100% basis is, as I said, a record high. And on the consolidated basis, the number of customers has also increased significantly. In fact, it has more than doubled from 19 million in Q4 04 to 42.2 million with DTAC included at the end of the year. These are growth figures that has beaten our expectations, in particularly towards the end of the year. And again, December was the number one month when it comes to this growth. In Norway, Norway is again a very strong performance. The revenue growth is 10%, and it's driven by the fact that now 40% of all calls being originated in Norway is now done from the mobile phone. This is up approximately 7 percentage points over the year. So fixed to mobile migration has continued. And we have achieved an improvement in the postpaid base, as well as thus being able to maintain the ARPU level, the average revenue per user level, throughout the year. This happens at the same time as the market share is stable at 56%. And I feel this is very, very well done throughout 2005. In Sweden, here we have included Sweden pro forma figures for you, being the total of the MVNO and Vodafone Sweden. Our goal short term is to establish a clear market position, to reduce operational cost, and we target a 15% EBITDA margin for the year. Moving then outside the Nordic area, looking at international mobile operations, it is a very strong growth environment that we're looking at. We're here included sort of the industry's expectations for future growth to come. And this chart shows that, again, in the next 3 years, there might be 80 to 100 million new subscribers to become mobile subscribers in the next 3 years to come. And telecom companies are well positioned to take their fair share of this growth. As we see in Hungary, the growth isn't that significant, but for other countries, significant growth is expected. And both the performance of Panon and Digi is that of a very good starting point for 2006. In particular, the Digi figures for fourth quarter are impressive. Moving to Kyivstar being our number one record growth company with more than 3 million net adds in Q4 alone. Last year we had a big uncertainty when it comes to ARPU development, average revenue per user development, when we have growth figures like this. And we're very happy to note that in this year, this ARPU figure didn't dilute as much as it did last year. And when you think about this, knowing that almost in December alone, we connected close to 2 million new subscribers, it's a very good performance that ARPU didn't dilute more than it did. This is happening at the same time as Kyivstar has taken the market leadership in the Ukrainian market, and now records a market share of 45.8%. And this is done on a strong underlying EBITDA margin of 54%. So for Kyivstar, the expectations for the end of the year has really been met. And of course, the starting point for 2006 is very, very good. In many ways, these characteristics that we took from the Ukrainian market can also be mentioned on Grameenphone. Grameenphone has another record growing company with more than 1.3 million subs in Q4 alone. And this is done at the same time as the company maintains its market share at above 60%. We promised in second half of 2005 a 50% EBITDA margin, knowing that we had a low 47% in Q2. Apples to apples, the EBITDA margin became 50.6%, but due to a change in accounting principles, where we have changed the backbone rental from operational cost to lease cost, so that the EBITDA margin on a reported basis now is 54%. And this is a long-term contract for the backbone that we are using in the mobile offering, and therefore the accounting principles have been changed on this issue. The position of Grameenphone is more or less at the same as we have in Ukraine. It's well positioned also to take part in the growth expected to come in 2006. Moving then to Pakistan, being sort of a topic of many concerns in these days. At the end of the year, Telenor Pakistan had a very good performance when it came to number of customer uptake. The customer uptake was strong towards the end of the year. We felt that we were taking approximately 20% of net adds in certain periods, and it brought our market share close to 9% towards the end of the year. This happens at the same time that we are able to increase average revenue per user with small figures, but still the figure is moving in the right direction. The growth in number of customers continued into 2006. But it's, of course, a great concern to us at what has happened over the last few days. When we look at the news on television, it's easy to see that this could, in a way, have a great effect on the Telenor service offering in Pakistan. If we sort of look at the facts around the case, the disturbances and the physical damages both to base stations as well as the infrastructure to distribute isn't that severe as you could envisage from the television pictures. But that doesn't take away the seriousness that we've seen over the last days in this market. We're very happy to conclude that our own personnel is safe and sound and also seems to be in good control of the situation and are staying in close contact with Norwegian authorities on the matter. And we really hope that this situation can calm down and that the marketplace can normalize in the weeks to come. Closing that in with DTAC figures in Malaysia. Sorry, DTAC figures in Thailand. Since DTAC now has become a 69.3% company in Telenor. The Thai market in 2005 was heavily affected by the price war that took place in second quarter. There is an estimated subscriber growth of 15% throughout the year. And DTAC has positioned itself better towards the end of the year than in the midst of the year. We now have an estimated market share of around 28% of the market. We feel that the market has picked up again in Q4. There is a good revenue growth in the market, and we're very optimistic that penetration can grow in the Thai market in the periods to come. And we've taken ambitions for ourselves, whereas DTAC has launched the ambitions of taking at least 30% of the net adds in the periods to come. And consequently, from that base, we'll grow market share. We anticipate that this can take place in a stable margin environment, and also are working on the regulatory issues in Thailand that now seems to be on the route of being normalized, even though there are some timelines involved here. With this, I want to conclude my presentation here today and leave the floor to the CFO, Trond Vestli, to present the financials more in detail, as well as the outlook for the group for 2006. Thank you.
Good morning. I have the pleasure of presenting to you good numbers for the fourth quarter as well as for the year of 2005. It's a record quarter as well as a record year when it comes to both the revenue and the EBITDA for Telenor. We are showing a steady growth, and on the revenue side in the fourth quarter, the split between organic growth as well as acquired growth is evenly distributed on the 25%. As well as you can see on the screen, we also show year-on-year basis a 16% increase in the earnings per share. Going to the details, we see that growing, starting on the fourth quarter numbers, we see that we're showing a revenue of 19.4 billion, a 26% increase from the fourth quarter of 2004. The EBITDA is moving from 5.1 billion to 6.7, an increase of 1.6 billion, an increase of 30%. The EBIT numbers, the earnings before interest and tax numbers of 2004 in the fourth quarter were influenced by the write-down of Sonofon. And we have also taken write-downs this year regarding our fixed operation in Sweden with approximately 600, and therefore the earnings before interest and tax is almost short of 3 billion Norwegian kroners. The net finance is 350 million, and that gives us the profit before taxes of 2.6 billion Norwegian kroners. On the tax side, we have a slightly higher tax charge in the fourth quarter, and that is due to a disallowed tax deduction taken in 2004 and has been reversed in the fourth quarter. Effectively, in the fourth quarter, that gives us an effective tax rate of 44%, and in the year-over-year basis, it's adjusting our operational tax rate of approximately 30% to a 33% rate. We're doing that as a result of our accounting policy on conservatism, but we do think that we have a very good case of getting the disallowed tax deduction reversed. For the full year numbers, we're showing revenue of almost 69 billion Norwegian kroners, a growth from last year with 13.7%, and on the earnings before depreciation and amortization, almost 24 billion. The margin increase year over year is 1%, but the increase as such in the EBITDA is 2.2 billion Norwegian kroners and an increase of 10.4%. The total net finance for the year is on the same number as in Q4, 350 million kroners, and that is due to a gain of sale of the Intelsat shares in February of 2005. The tax charge for the year is, as I mentioned, 33%, leaving and minority changes, leaving then the net income at 6.9 billion and the earnings per share at 4 kroners and 6 per. Looking at the development from fourth quarter of 2004 until this quarter results, we see that Mobile Norway is doing good with their 10% revenue increase, but the strong drivers, main drivers in the revenue development is the combination of Keystar, DG and Grameen, which addresses the growth in total of 1.9 billion Norwegian kroners. In addition to that, we have the acquisitions of DTAC as well as the broadband activities in Sweden and Denmark. That gives us the combination of the allocation between the total growth of 50% on acquired growth and organic growth. Looking at the development in the earnings before depreciation and amortization, the drivers is Namely, DG, Q-Star, with a very good margin on the increased revenue. And also, we see that the Tonoform is contributing very, very good as a result of the restructuring done during the year of 2005. Coming to the remaining mobile, the growth there is based on loss that were taken last year, and thereby the increase in such is more due to the loss taken last year than the organic development and the improvements of the mobile business in Sweden. So in total, we're showing the EBITDA number from the fourth quarter of 2005 for a bit more than 6.7 billion Norwegian kroners. On the capital expenditures, we see that the CapEx is mainly driven by high subscriber growth and is mainly capacity driven. The total number of 6.4 billion is as high due to the fact that we have done some accounting changes that gives us the additional 1.054 billion in addition in this quarter. Comparing the numbers, we also have some license charges in the fourth quarter in Norway and in Denmark, totaling about 700 million. But comparing that figure to the fourth quarter of 2004, we also have the license CapEx in 2004 in Sonoform of 630. So on that basis, it's very even. The development of the net debt. We started the fourth quarter with a net debt of 21.8 billion Norwegian kroners, and we increased that as a result of the acquisition of DTAC UCOM. The acquisition of debt in DTAC and UCOM were 7.3 billion, and the tender offers given and the acquisition of new shares were 2.7 billion out of the 10 billion amount. The net investments, as well as finance lease unpaid license fees, basically tying up to the CapEx in the fourth quarter. And we see that the reduction of 6.7 is the EBITDA number, leaving us at year end of net debt of 31.1 billion Norwegian kroners. When it comes to starting 2006, we acquired Vodafone Sweden with almost 8.2 billion Norwegian kroners, and thereby the starting point of 2006 is basically a net debt of 40 billion Norwegian kroners. The board has proposed a dividend of 2 kroner per share. That gives us a total dividend to be paid out in 2006 of 3.4 billion Norwegian kroners. That is a 3% dividend yield as well as a 40% on net income distribution. If you take the total amount of the dividend as well as the buyback in 2005, the total amount is 5.7 billion Norwegian kroners and gives us the total payout ratio of approximately 82% of the net income. The buyback program that we have in place is still on hold after the increasing of debt the last 8 months due to the acquisitions as well as the acquisitions made in 2006. As a result of the changes in the group structure lately, I would like to show you the pro forma numbers for 2005 as an indication of the starting position that we have going into 2006. Looking on the revenue side on the left, you see that the reporting figures of 2005 is 68.9 billion Norwegian kroners. If we include the latest acquisitions and also the acquisitions taken during the second half of 2005, we see that the pro forma figures for 2005 on a revenue basis is 82 billion. On the high right side, you see the EBITDA on the reported figures going from 23.8 billion to 27.2 billion. As a result of the growth, you can also see on the left side that the margins are going down from 34.8% to 33.5%. The CapEx figures for the year is reported to 16.4 billion, and the performance numbers for the year is 19.1 billion. Basically, both ratios higher than the 23% level on the CapEx to sales. Taking this as a starting point of our outlook statements for 2006, we see that the strong growth in the mobile subscription during 2005 is to Telenor a solid foundation for further growth in revenues. We expect growth in reported revenue in the range of 25 to 30% based upon the current group structure. That is the group structure today. On the EBITDA margin, we see a continued high growth in the EBITDA, in particular driven by the international mobile operations. We also will continue the introduced initiatives and identify new means of improving the cost efficiency. We expect the EBITDA margin before income, before other income and expenses for 2006 to be around 33%. We see a continuation of the high capital expenditures, and capital expenditure as a proportion of revenues is expected to be above 20%. The capital expenditure is expected to continue to be driven by high subscription growth within Telenor's mobile operation in the emerging market. We also see that it is a lot capacity-driven and not coverage-driven investments in all our international investments except for Pakistan. A growing share of Telenor's revenue and profits is coming from operations outside Norway, thereby currency fluctuations is going to increase to increasing extent influence the reported figures. We also expect seasonal variation between the quarters, basically in the same patterns as we have seen as previous years. And that concludes my presentation of the financial figures.
Thank you, Mr. Vetli. Now we are ready to take your questions, so I invite Mr. Baksås back to the podium. And before you ask your questions, please introduce yourself. Yes, we have a question here, please. So is the microphone up top here, so it's okay.
Am I on? Yes. To elaborate on that and to be sort of very predictable is a challenge. But we're of course in contact with our people in Pakistan as we've been this morning as well. Mr. Tor Johnsen is now reporting that it seems much more under control than what we saw at least for a couple of days ago. As for details here, as I said during my presentation, the damage to this, to our network seems to be fairly minimal. There are two base stations out of operation, out of around 1,300. So the effect of that is not that significant. But I do think we have to see for ourselves that we will have to see some time before things are becoming normal for Telenor in Pakistan again. I also know that there has been good contact between Norwegian and Pakistani authorities, also as you can see from the statements of Prime Minister yesterday. So I hope that this dialogue can improve the situation and that we can see a more normalized market over time.
Okay, any more questions from the audience? Since we need to use the microphones after all. We have a question up there. If you could please give the gentleman the microphone up there.
Hi, I just have a couple of questions. One regarding the CapEx. As you know, Digi is seeking a 3G license in Malaysia, and there might be other 3G licenses coming in 2006. Are you allowing for CapEx used for the 3G license, especially in Malaysia and other places, perhaps? And the other is on the buyback program that has come to a halt. Can you give us a little more color on what sort of key ratios you are looking for before resuming the buyback program?
So?
When it comes to the capex guidance, we include all the capex that we foresee during 2006 in that guidance. And that also includes the elements of what you mentioned in Malaysia. When it comes to the buyback program, as a result, as I said, as a result of the acquisitions we've done during the last 8 months, the net debt is about 40 billion starting in 2006. We see the gross debt is approximately 7 or 8 billion higher, meaning that we have gross debt of 47 or 48 billion kroners, meaning that the debt ratio on Telenor's balance sheet now is reasonably high and as expected going as we see going forward. We see the buyback measures more as adjustment both to the total payments back to the shareholders, but as well as the gearing capacity on the balance sheet. Right now, we feel that the gearing capacity on the balance sheet is as high, is reasonably high, and we don't expect the buyback program to start up until we see a more stabilized gearing ratio going forward.
Okay, no more questions from the audience. So I then call upon the call conference host to introduce the questions from the participants on the phone.
The first question is from in the Citigroup group.
Yes, good morning. It's James Rivers from Citigroup in London. I've got three questions if I can. The first is on M&A rather predictably. There's clearly an interest in Kyivstar. But it's also clear that there are other assets within your portfolio that may be of value to other players today in the market. Has there been any change in your thinking about the disposal of assets? And in particular here, I'm thinking about Panon and maybe the broadcast business as well. On the flip side of that, you know, there's a global EMEA player, an emerging market player up for sale that would have some fits with your greenfield portfolio. Can you confirm whether you were of any part of that bidding process? And if it would be for the whole of the business or just particular assets within that. And then I've got two clarification questions. Just in terms of your guidance, you said a 33% margin but there were additional measures. I just want to know what those additional measures are. Are they just within the Norwegian fixed line business? And are they included within your guidance, if that makes sense? The second point was a clarification on comments made by Mr. Baxter about the Norwegian fixed line. I just want to check whether my ears are working right, and that is the competition you believe is being contained within the within Norwegian fixed line business, and if so, what's actually changed? Thank you.
Sean, do you want to take the two first ones? The M&A question.
The M&A question.
Hmm.
Well, basically, when it comes to the Kyivstar situation, we're very aware of the interest from Lipocom, and other than that, we have given our statement that to that approach. Coming to the others, interesting, like the Millicom situation, we of course we are looking at what's happening in the market, but as usual, we don't comment on the specific items we're looking at. Going to the guidance on the margin, I'm a bit uncertain what you mean by the additional measures. My clear statement was that we're guiding on around the 30%, 33% margin on the EBITDA. And whatever I have given of interpretation of additional measures, at least that was not intended. We're just guiding on the around 33% level.
And as for the third element of your questions here, I think I used the word container on the situation there on our own operational challenges that we've had in the fourth quarter, not around the competitive situation as such. So my reference to that word was to the fact that we had operational challenges in a period where we were raising the speed to our customers from 2 to 4 megabit. And in that period, we had to face some operational challenges which delayed our abilities to do cost efficient measures in the same period. So that was how I used the word. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Okay, next question, please.
Mr. Reid in UBS, please.
Morning. Two questions. First, on the usage growth in Norway mobile, it's obviously a very strong number there. And I was just wondering, you commented on the ongoing fixed to mobile migration. I was just wondering what sort of level you would expect them seeing current trends for 2006 on that front at this stage, and how that relates to potential price declines in the market. The second question is about the Ukrainian mobile margin. Again, that was a very strong figure, I think, in Q4, even correcting for the accounting change issues there. I was just wondering, what do you attribute that to? I mean, what drove this very strong margin, given that you have added a record number of subscribers in the quarter, and how do you see this margin going into 2006, given the challenges to the market share from UMC, but also from Turkcell in particular? Thank you.
Yeah, start with the first one. It's a fact that the Norwegian market in throughout 2005 really has gone the mobile direction when it comes to use of the mobile phone for voice purposes. So the pitch to mobile migration seems to be stepping up in this period, reaching 40%. That doesn't necessarily lead to that this percentage would sort of be 100 at some point of time. There are believers in that as well, but still there are sort of a way to go. But I personally think that this figure will increase. I think the advantages and the attractiveness on the mobile phone is obvious, and this fixed to mobile migration will continue. As references in the Nordic countries, the Finnish market seems to be about 50%. The Swedish market seems to be low 30s, and the Danish market seems to be more comparable to the Norwegian one. So I think that all these markets are moving in the mobile direction for this purpose. How fast? Well, now we have reached 7% over 1 year. It seems like a high figure compared to previous years. You also have to reckon that the number of minutes overall spent for voice purposes in the Norwegian marketplace seems to be fairly stable. Which means that, but in the mobile area, the number of calls are more frequent, but they aren't that long as they are on fixed line. And these are user habits, which are obviously under change. So, well, there will be a growth there. Long answer with a short conclusion. When it comes to the competitive situation in Ukraine, as for any other markets, the competitive situation is there. Now the penetration has come pretty high, above 60%, with a phenomenal growth in towards the end of the year. So it seems that the Ukrainian really has embraced the mobile phone. Of course, there will be price competition also in the market, as it is already. But I think that it's also proven from many markets that number one and number two, being head-to-head the way they are always strong players in such a market environment when competition develops through the places we know them very well from other markets. Thank you.
Can I ask just a quick follow-up on that? I was particularly interested in your views on the margin development in view of this, given that I mean, a strong position, I understand the implications on the margin. I'd like to understand a bit better.
Yeah, the Ukrainian market is, as you know, primarily a prepaid market. So the market doesn't have the characteristics of the handset subsidies that other European markets had. That has, of course, something also to do with the margin situation as it stands. Given the possibilities of sort of this market having reached 60% more penetration already, we will have to anticipate certain plateaus here from here on onwards. We've seen those plateaus in most other markets until new segments seems to wake up and become available for mobile phones as well. And this, there hasn't been such a plateau in the Ukrainian market as far as I can see. Of course, in such a growth area, when competition sort of heats up and penetration grows, both players have reasonably good possibilities also to work on its cost structures. So there will be possibilities longer term to work at cost structures in this margin equation. So I think that is as far as I can go. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Next is Hoffick and Lehman Brothers, please.
Good morning again, gentlemen. I wonder if we could keep the focus on the Ukraine. The ARPU performance declining, I come up with an estimate of around 10% year on year, was an improvement on the development of the trends. Could you tell us what's been different in terms of the marketing campaigns, the product positioning and the pricing this year versus the fourth quarter last year? And also, I was wondering if you'd be drawn to make any further comments on the VimpelCom situation. Thank you.
Yeah, as for the differences towards the end of this year compared to last year, the amount of free airtime per new subscriber is limited compared to what it was last year. And this is one of the main reasons for why we haven't the dilution effect as strong this quarter as we had in fourth quarter last year, and as we also had in first quarter 2005. So I think that you can sort of find the main reason for this in how the marketing packages are being introduced in the marketplace and with the level of free airtime attached to it. When it comes to the situation around VimpelCom in general, I think that we have basically given sort of the comments on that. We're not disregarding the issue as such, but we're surprised that Infocom management, as soon as they did, after they consumed the URS Welcome transaction, disregarding the corporate governance procedures on acquisitions like that, seen from our perspective, and then come up with sort of this solution on top of this acquisition. We're a little bit surprised at that being done without sort of a discussion at shareholder holding level. And that, of course, points back to a number of issues that the two main shareholders have to resolve between the two of them before this issue can really be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is Blue Stone in the company HSBC, please.
Hello, my name is Jacob Blue Stone from HSBC. Just three quick questions, please. First of all, your fixed-line business in Norway is also under a bit of pressure. I was trying to understand a little bit, where is that pressure coming from? Is it more on the business side or more on the consumer side? Also, you mentioned that the cost-saving implementation was a bit delayed because of the increases in the speeds. I'm just wondering, is this something that we will be seeing in the future? So in the future, when you raise the broadband speeds, will we be seeing further delays in implementing the cost savings, or is something that's been solved? And then finally, just on the Swedish MVNO, could you just remind us, do you plan to migrate the customers to the Vodafone Sweden network? And if so, could you maybe give us an estimate of how much that will cost? Thanks.
Fixed line under pressure, yes, from various angles. Number of lines are being under pressure, more or less, because of the mobile usage, in particular in the younger segments of the population. Another effect is, of course, the voice over IP being sort of more visible with some of more than 100,000 lines connected for voice over IP purposes. We don't consider, though, that these voice over IP connections are very heavy users as they stand now, but still they are there being connected. And then you have sort of the general price pressure coming from competition, where in particular service providers with limited network resources themselves are putting pressure on the price structures, primarily in the corporate sector, I should say. I think that we can say that we're reasonably successful in the corporate sector when it comes to market share, but there is a price pressure on the integrated solution when you think about voice and data communication, as well as including mobility in the same package for the corporate sector. But from a market share perspective, we're doing very well. As to the cost savings delay, including your question about speed, I think we ran into a learning curve when we increased the service offering from 2 to 4 megabits. So I don't think we will run into that trap once more. But what we did learn ourselves was that the customer service cost involved and also the field service cost involved force us to delay sort of the cost efficiency exercises that were scheduled for this quarter. So we're a little bit delayed on the cost takeouts. I think, though, that we have established that the cost structure is somewhat more variable entering 2006 than what it was 1 year ago, sort of as one element, at least, being more able to attack cost structures in 2006. As to the MVNO migration in Sweden, yes, this MVNO, the usage of the MVNO deal will lead us to migrate this from or during the initial phase of this year to the Vodafone network. ask you the consequences of that, I'm not able to answer sort of in detail what that figure is. I think I have to refer that to investor relations.
That's great. Thank you.
Next, Mr. Nelson, you have your door, please.
Okay.
Next question, please.
Mr. Nelson in Chevrolet.
Thank you. Peter Nelson from Chevrolet. Thank you. Couple of questions, please. Firstly, on the Norwegian mobile market, as Frederick said, you posted a fairly strong performance in Q4, which seems to be the case of the year, and also your main competitor reported a similarly solid result. Could you talk a bit about what you've seen in the Norwegian mobile market? Would you say the situation has sort of, the market situation has stabilized, and any sort of outlook how you see developments in 2006, please? And just a clarification issue, the Swedish mobile, sort of targeted margin of 15% in 06, is that for the purely for the old Vodafone Sweden business, or is this including your existing business, and if not, to what extent would that business sort of continue to cause you losses in Sweden through this year? And then finally, if I may, the margin guidance you've given for 2006 of 33%, I understand this is an approximate figure. Is this based on sort of the midpoint of the revenue growth you've given? And also, does Pakistan hold any sort of swing factor here in any direction? Thank you.
Well, Peter, thank you for raising direct questions. And I'll ask John Wesley to think over the last part of your question. Norwegian marketplace, well, it's still a very competitive marketplace. There are players out here which are doing very good work when it comes to their service providing, service provisioning based offers. So absolutely, the competition will continue. Even though that just sense in a period of time seem to be a little bit sort of more concerned about the takeover activity that took place in 2006 for a period at least. But it's a competitive situation. We feel we have a good price package for the time being well appreciated by the marketplace, at least in the postpaid segment. And at the beginning of the year, we had more speed into the prepaid as well. But we've managed to turn that around towards focusing at the postpaid segment, and we feel that we have had a reasonably good reception with that package in the marketplace. Will it continue? Will it stay like that? Well, one thing is for sure, we will be competing on our position, having a competitive offer in the marketplace, as we always try to do. Tom?
As for the guidance, I still want to emphasize that we're saying around 33%. And we're not giving you a fixed number of guidance. What we're giving you is the guidance of the revenue increase between 25 and 30 and around 33%. And we're also stating in our outlook that it is very dependent on the growth level and the subscriber growth in the period. So it's definitely our anticipation in that range. But we are dependent on the anticipated growth that we see in the subscriber growth.
Thank you. And the Swedish margin for this year? Is that base margin target 15%?
I forgot the
question. Was just
that relates both to the MVNO and as you politely said to us, these losses have now been taken around the MVNO with the write-down that we have included in this year's closing accounts. So this includes both.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Next, Mr. Salir in the company ING, please.
Yes, good afternoon. Good morning, sorry. I'm going to say ING. Two questions. One is on Digicom. My understanding is that there will be a new interconnection with GEMS in Malaysia. Basically, mobile interconnection rates will decline and the fixed interconnection rate on Telecom Malaysia will increase. Can you give us a sense of what is the expected impact on Digicom profitability? And for DTAC in Thailand, I also understand there is a new interconnection regime to be implemented this year. Could you confirm whether you are going to be subject to that new regime because you're not a license holder, but you're a concession holder? And can you give us also an update on the 3G license in Taiwan and whether you expect that it will have a positive impact on your EBITDA margin? Thank you.
Did you say 3G in Thailand?
Yes.
Okay. But the 3G presence in Thailand is not sort of visible at the horizon. So can you clarify that a bit?
The first thing is the interconnection regime in Thailand.
Let me take them in sequence then. Start with Digi. The new interconnection fees in Malaysia is applicable to all players. And the regulator seems to favor sort of the fixed line part of the market, as the equation is moving in that direction. So Digi, as well as other players, are applicable to follow that new interconnection regime in Malaysia. Your question on DTAC, yes, there is a change also in the revenue share model as described in the contractual terms, and these are also applicable to DTAC as they were applicable to AIS previously this year, and this was a preset schedule. But we do believe that, and we do see a timeline for the license conversion process being now more possible to carry through. Also, in relation to the fact that the ultimate holder of AIS, our main competitor, is now sort of has now become Singaporean, or will become Singaporean. So, I think that the there are at least possibilities that this agenda can be addressed more clearly in the periods to come. And then comes for the third question, you was about 3G in Thailand. And to my knowledge, there is no clear roadmap for 3G licenses in Thailand yet. Whereas, of course, the path for 3G in Malaysia has already been laid out, and we are, of course, hopeful that Digi will get a 3G license this spring.
Thank you, really. Thank you.
Next, Mr. Barker in the company Credit Suisse, please.
Thank you very much. Some fairly simple questions, I hope. Just on this point about these accruals that you've drawn attention to in the Ukraine in the fourth quarter, I just wonder if you could explain exactly what is being accrued there, why it is different from what has happened in any other quarters, and whether we're going to see any sort of negative impact on reversal in the first quarter of 2006. Secondly, I just wondered if you could just clarify once more what your comments about tax rates for the group going forward. I think I missed some of your comments earlier. And finally, just a general question about 3G insofar as you have seen the evidence across your mobile footprint so far. You know, are you continuing to see positive impact in terms of ARPU and usage and particularly take-up of non-SMS data services as 3G rolls out? Thanks very much.
Tom, will you address the two first ones?
When it comes to the accruals in QSTAR, it's a release of accruals in the fourth quarter that we had previously had accrued for. It's relating to a tax review that has been taken. It's regarding a VAT on some pension issues that has been disputed by us. And as a result of competitors having a court ruling here in their favor, which also applies to our case, we have elected to reverse that accrual in the fourth quarter. I believe the amount is approximately 50 rimnil. And as a result of that, that is reversed in the fourth quarter, and we don't expect that to be a repeated issue. Coming to the tax rates, we do see the operational tax rates going forward at the 30% level, and the deviance we have in the fourth quarter was basically to a dismissal of a tax loss that we have on the liquidation. The effect of that, as I said, was 40% additional tax charge in the fourth quarter, 3% for the year of 2005. but we are positive that we are going to have a different view, or we have a positive view that we will get that deduction during the course of 2006.
Then, for the third part of your question, the 3G footprint, are we seeing a pickup of services? I think we could say generally that a 3G customer is a more aggressive user of data services compared to a 2G user. But it also has to be said that the great pickup, the great change moving from 2G to 3G hasn't really been there. And now I'm using the Norwegian market as sort of my reference. But we're hopeful that there are some of the change to this. Number of terminals, not to mention, has increased tremendously towards the end of 2005. And if we take a look at Barcelona and the event that takes place there as we speak, the new terminals that are underway seems to be very, very attractive and very well tailored for the Scandinavian markets at least. And with our own ability now to sort of put in new content-related services into also handsets in Norway, in particular, for example, related to the top football league in Norway for 3 years to come, which we have inside the group with a combination of Telenor, Canal Digital, and TV2. Then there are at least new, very attractive service like content elements that can be distributed very attractively to 3G handsets. So this is what we're doing in order to try to build up the usage of non-voice services in the 3G field. As for sort of the other markets in which we are active, it's the Malaysian market that seems to be the most active one when it comes to non-voice services. The revenue split of non-voice services in Malaysia compared to Scandinavia and the Norwegian market is fairly equal, 17% to 18% of revenue. And that means that this market in particular has a great attractivity towards mobile internet. And that is a sort of a good sign, knowing that the fixed line penetration in a market like that is fairly low compared to Europe. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next, Mr. Jimenez in the company Morgan Stanley, please.
Thank you very much. Just a couple of questions, please. On the restructuring side in fixed Norway, you reiterated your intention to cut costs for 1.5 billion NOK. I was wondering if you could be more specific about this, the actions you plan to undertake during 2006 to get to that level of absolute cost reduction. And second question is, in Thailand, I was wondering what are your views with regards to a possible tax improvement from the point of view of TAC as a result of the change in ownership in your primary competitor there. Thank you very much.
As to the restructuring of the fixed, we have reduced the workforce quite considerably. We had the target of 700 with the program throughout 2005. We're lagging a little bit on that program. But we are at good hopes that we can carry that through early this year. And these will give effect into 2006, referring also to that the cost base has become somewhat more variable in its form compared to it being more fixed in its form 1 year ago. But we have to admit that we have to work hard at achieving the 1.5 billion cost reductions throughout this year, so that we enter 2007 with a cost structure on an annual base which is improved by 1.5 billion compared to the cost structure of 2004. But we're committed to exercise for this, and this relates to execute this, and this relates both to the manning structure as such. It relates to IT and IT operations. and of course also construction and project costs as such. There are, and these are big elements in the cost structures as a whole. And we have to do this based on the fact that the technology are developments and the competition on the fixed line previous revenue streams are very strong coming from new technologies and new players. And of course, Telenor has to take new technology into usage in order to put efficiencies into our value chains as such as others can do.
Okay, time allows us to have one more question, please.
Sorry, the Thailand question on tax as a result.
I mean, it's difficult to sort of be precise on what we possibly could achieve on a revised regulatory regime in Thailand. But the authorities has and the NTC have been firm in its ambition to achieve a normal interconnect regime between the mobile players and the fixed line. And as you know, the revenue share program there is exactly compensating for the lack of such an interconnection regime. So I do anticipate that the NTC will be able to be more active on this issue throughout this year. And and we will continue to work with them, both from an industry perspective as well as from an owner and operator perspective.
Thank you.
Okay, last question then, please.
The next question is from Mr. Mallory, please.
I also want to ask you regarding Vietnam and your further expansion in the region, if you consider to make an interesting acquisition during this year. Thank you.
Yeah, we have identified Vietnam as a country of interest to Telenor. And our previous CEO in Bangladesh, is now resident in Hanoi City. It's a promising market, no doubt. It has a fairly low penetration. And the operators there could have a great benefit associating, connecting up with a company like Telenor. And we also feel very good response in the local marketplace to what we can offer. But I think we have to pay a good respect to the fact that this process is a long-term one. It is not. There is no fixed timeline there. There are ambitions, but there is no timeline identified. And there will probably be taken no decisions on this until at least crossing over to the summer. So my comments can only stretch as far as that.
If I may
follow up, that concludes the Q&A session, and thank you all for joining us.